share a little bit from God's Word. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read from verses 14 to 38. Mark chapter 8, verse 14 to 38. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand, or your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat in the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "What about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You're the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels." Now, if you know Mark's gospel, you'll know that one of the main themes in Mark is that Jesus fulfills the role of Isaiah's suffering servant, God's suffering servant. It's a theme or a perspective that's essential to understanding the true character and identity of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. Now, recently, or a while ago with Chloe, she's been doing a bit more colouring in, and I try to avoid the temptation of guiding her hand too much. And I was speaking with a man, actually, Gwillem, there, and he's an artist, and he was trying to tell me, you know, don't guide her too much, just let her do what she wants to do and express herself. And sometimes she'll express herself all over the couch and all over the walls and different things in her drawings, expressing her perspective. But the man was maybe talking about when she's a little bit older. But certain things can be perspective. Certain things we can see maybe from different angles. But there are other things that are just straightforward, absolute truth. Things that are clear. And even when it comes to color, there are 4 absolute colors. Cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. They're deliberately fixed so that there cannot be any difference in perspective, provided that we can see clearly. I had a friend, and he would remember we were coloring in one time for a children's club years ago, and he looked across at me and he said, "Since when are kangaroos green?" And I told him it's not actually green, it's beige, you know. But despite being colorblind, he assumes that everyone else's color is wrong. But there are absolute colors. So that green is not beige, and beige is not black, and that there are colors so that when we look at a printed article, it looks the same or it's printed the same, and there's this universal understanding of what it is to see something from the same perspective. Well, within Mark's gospel, we get this perspective, this true perspective of seeing Jesus as the Christ, not just one person's idea or this other person's idea. Jesus was a prophet, Jesus was a good man, a good teacher, but what Jesus was, who he really was, and what he came to accomplish. So in this passage, there's a few different things, but I'm just going to focus on really there's a lot of confusion here. There's the healing of the blind man. It might be a bit strange that it happens in two stages, but then through that, we see the Christ for who he really is, and we see what it is to truly follow Jesus as a true disciple. So these people, they brought Jesus, this blind man, in verses 22 to 26. And we get this strange story of this man being healed in two stages. You know, we might say, well, you know, why is Jesus doing this? Could he not have healed him in one go? Of course he could. But he wants to show us something as he heals this man. So once they're far enough out of place, out of sight, the miracle takes place. Look at verse 23. Jesus spits in the man's eyes. He puts his hands on him. He knows it's not some kind of a cruel joke. Lets him know he's still there. And he asks him, what do you see? I'm sure most of you have got a similar question at some stage in your lives. You know, what do you see? How about now? How about now? It's almost as if Jesus is giving the man an eye exam and changing the different lenses and trying to struggle to find a solution to this man's problem. And the man responds and he says, I see people. They look like trees walking around. It's almost like he's quite excited in his response. What on earth is Jesus doing? Well, in the University of Ulster, Coleraine, a fairly nice part of the world, some of the leading researchers into eye conditions and vision treatment, there are many things that are known today that weren't known back in Jesus' day. And there are many things about creation that have yet to be discovered, of course, as well. But only in the last few years have some eye conditions been found that weren't known about. For example, there was a 50-year-old man called Virgil, blind from childhood, who had his sight restored in 1991 after an eye operation, and he had lens implanted, and the bandage removed, and Virgil could see. But he had no idea what he was seeing. Light, movement, color. It's all just mixed up and meaningless. Kind of like a blur, a picture that you couldn't understand. See, his brain could make no sense of the images that his now perfect eyes were able to see. It wasn't something wrong with his eyes where he couldn't just focus properly or take in the images. He actually said himself, trees didn't look like anything on earth. This man is what is now called a visual agnostic. He had visual agnosia. We know the word agnostic. It's when somebody kind of doesn't really understand. They're not sure about God or what he is or who he is. One man, another man who had his eyesight restored, he was a machinist. He still had to shut his eyes and feel around for his tools because it was the only way that he could identify the objects in the world around him. He could not recognize them through sight. Visual agnosia. Nothing to do with blurry vision. Nothing to do with not being able to see enough light. It's about not being able to understand in your mind the world around you. This blind man that Jesus healed, he had his eyesight restored, he could see, but he didn't have a clue what he was looking at. He could see, but he couldn't understand. It's not something that just happens automatically. So verse 25, once more, Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes, and he saw everything clearly. In other words, at least now he's able to tell the difference between trees and people. Jesus heals him. He sends him home. And obviously, if you haven't figured out yet, the reason why he does this is to teach the disciples that you can see but not understand. The disciples didn't really see who Jesus was. They thought they knew. They could see, they could observe things, but they hadn't put the picture together and understood and realized who Jesus was, what he was going to do, that he had to die for their sin and rise again, and what he would accomplish. That's what it was to see the Christ and understand him clearly. So finally then, just as we think, for those of us that are Christians, in verses 34 to 38, what does it mean to see true following? Well, you know, we think of this verse that Jesus, he kind of calls everybody in and challenges them. It's like, disciples, listen up, all you people, to all you crowds. If you really want to understand what it is to be my disciple, here it is. Listen up. Anyone who seeks to save his life will lose it, but those who give up their lives for my sake will find it. And then the challenging rhetorical question, what do you benefit if you gained the whole world and lose your own soul? Sometimes when we think about the choices that we make in life, the world or our soul, we might think of, was it Stravinsky's the soldier and the devil, or maybe Donald Trump in the White House, maybe give up something in exchange for the world, the whole world. But unless we're complete and utter megalomaniacs, we don't want the world anyway, do we? We just want a little peace. Maybe a little bit of quiet in our home or in our back garden. The pleasure of knowing what it is to enjoy life. Little things day by day that we might just ignore when it comes to following Christ for the sake of having a better world for ourselves. As we go through life, we hear it right from children. You've got the world at your fingertips. Just go out and explore, go out and enjoy things, experience the world. Jesus challenges us. That very natural desire that we have to set our own little world in order, to find the right girlfriend, force them to marry you, bring up the children in the right way, get the right job, the right career, do all those things of our little world. Jesus says, forget about that. Follow me. Understand that the most important thing about being a disciple of Jesus Christ is to know that he died on the cross so that you could be forgiven and follow him as your king. So what do you see? Do you see clearly and understand? When you look in the mirror, are you immediately hit by the receding hairline or the graying hair that needs a bit of, I was going to say back to black, but that's for car tires, don't put that on your hair. Just for men. Or some oil of ole to hide the crow's feet or whatever else it might be. Or when you look into that mirror in the morning time, do you see those eyes looking back at you and realize that that is one human soul that is more precious, more valuable than the entire contents of the whole world? When you walk down the street and you see people, do you understand that each and every single person is a soul that is precious to God and needs to hear the gospel? Or may those people just as well be trees walking? Because that's the difference in seeing clearly and understanding what it is to know the Christ and to follow him. Thank you, Peter.